Chapter 12. Poor Pip. A few days later, a terrible event occurred which seemed to me like a prophecy that more terrible events were to come. There was a small black boy called Pip in the crew. He was a bright, intelligent boy who loved life and happily played a drum when there was music and singing or dancing. His job was to ring the bell which told the seamen the time on the ship. Generally, men on whaling ships were big and strong, and when there was a smaller, weaker person like Pip, he became a shipkeeper. Someone who always stayed on the ship when the whaleboats were lowered. However, on this particular day, one of Stubbs' whaleboat crew had injured his arm, so Pip was told to join its crew. The first time Pip went out with Stubb in the whaleboat, it was clear that the boy was very nervous. Nothing went wrong, but Stubb, noticing how nervous Pip was, told him that he must be brave. On Pip's second hunt, a whale which had been harpooned hit the bottom of the boat just under where poor Pip was sitting. Terrified, the boy jumped out of the boat. The harpoon line was across his chest when he jumped, and it was pulled tightly round his body and neck as the whale began to swim away. Tashtego held his knife over the line and looked towards Stubb, asking the question,
"Shall I cut it?"
"Yes, cut it,"
shouted Stubb angrily. So the whale was lost, and Pip was saved. As soon as the poor little boy was back in the boat, the crew started shouting at him. When the crew had finished shouting, Stubb gave him some advice.
"Whatever happens, never jump out of the boat," he said. "If you do it again, I will leave you in the sea to drown. We can't afford to lose whales because of you."
But poor Pip did do it again. And this time Stubb left him in the sea. In fact, Stubb knew that the Pequod's other boats were following his boat, and he expected one of them to rescue the boy. But the men in those boats had seen whales ahead and did not see Pip. So in a few minutes, the little boy was alone in the huge ocean, with no land in any direction. By chance, the Pequod herself rescued him at last. But from that time, Pip was mad, forever talking wild nonsense. One day, soon after this, I saw him wandering around on the deck, repeating parts of a grammar book over and over again.
"I look, you look, he looks, we look. You look, they look, I look, you look, he looks."
And now Ahab, too, was behaving more and more strangely. He had always walked the deck for hours at a time, but now he would pause in particular places, staring closely at certain objects. He often used to stop and stare at the gold coin fixed to the mainmast, talking to himself about its color and its value and the patterns on it. One day, when Ahab shouted once more to a passing ship's captain,
"Have you seen the white whale?"
he got a reply which he found exciting because of his own experience. Shouting,
"Can you see this?"
the captain of the other ship, the Samuel Enderby, raised a white arm made from sperm whale bone.
"Lower my boat," cried Ahab.
In less than a minute, we were in Ahab's boat, rowing him quickly toward the Samuel Enderby. Seeing Ahab's whalebone leg, the crew lowered a blubber hook so Ahab could sit on it and be pulled up onto the deck. The captain seemed to be a friendly man who often smiled and laughed. He and his officers came to meet Captain Ahab, and I listened as they spoke. The captain introduced himself as Captain Boomer. Then he held out his whalebone arm for Ahab to shake. Ahab said,
"Yes, let us shake bones together, an arm and a leg."
And Ahab held out his whalebone leg to touch the captain's arm.
"Where did you see the white whale?"
he asked.
"How long ago?"
"I saw him first east of here, on the equator," said the captain,
an Englishman. It was last whaling season.
And he took that arm off, did he?
Asked Ahab. Yes, he was the cause of it, at least, replied the captain.
Tell me your story, said Ahab. How did it happen?
It was the first time I was in that area, began the Englishman. I knew nothing about the white whale at that time. One day, we lowered the boats to hunt five whales that were swimming together. We managed to get a harpoon into one of them, and it began crashing around in the water. Then, up from the bottom of the sea came a great whale, with a huge, white, wrinkled forehead.
It was he! It was he! Cried Ahab.
And there were harpoons deep in one of his sides, the captain went on.
Yes, yes, they were mine, my harpoons, shouted Ahab. But on with your story.
Give me a chance, then, said the Englishman, laughing gently. Well, this old great-grandfather started biting at the line, which joined the other whale to our boat.
Yes, yes, said Ahab. He wanted to free the whale you had caught. It's an old trick of his.
I don't know exactly how it happened, continued the one-armed captain. But when we tried to pull our line away, first we ended up on his hump, and then he brought his tail down on our boat and broke it into two pieces. As we tried to escape, one of the old harpoons came free from the whale's body, and its point tore my arm in a terrible way. The doctor can tell you more, he added, looking at one of his men.
It was a terrible injury, began the doctor.
Then he and the captain had a conversation about his injured arm, making jokes about it. But soon Ahab became impatient.
What happened to the white whale? He asked.
Oh, he went down into the sea and we didn't see him again for some time, replied Captain Boomer. It was when we were back in the same area more recently that I learned about Moby Dick, as some people call him, and I knew that it was the whale we'd seen.
And did you see him again?
Asked Ahab. Yes, twice, he replied.
But you were not able to harpoon him, said Ahab.
I didn't want even to try to do that, replied Captain Boomer with a smile. Losing one arm is quite enough for me. He's welcome to the one arm he has, since I can't get it back, but he can't have another one. No more white whales for me. I know it would be a great thing to catch Moby Dick, and there would be a great amount of oil in a whale that size, but I think it's best to leave him alone. Then he added, looking at Ahab's leg, Don't you think so, Captain?
It would be best to do that, replied Ahab excitedly. But the best thing is not always what a man wants to do. How long is it since you saw Moby Dick last? Which way was he going?
The doctor was looking at Ahab with interest as he spoke. He stared at his face, then took hold of his wrist, saying,
This anger isn't good for you, man. Your heart is beating too wildly. Let me help you.
He was joking in the way he had joked with Captain Boomer, but Ahab pushed him hard against the bulwark, shouting,
Avast!
And then he shouted at us,
To the boat!
Good God, cried the English captain. What's the matter?
Which way was the white whale going?
Ahab shouted. He was going east, I think, said the captain, looking at Ahab in amazement. Then he turned to Fadala, who had been standing there quietly all this time. Is your captain crazy? He whispered. But Fadala put his finger to his lips and climbed over the bulwarks down into Ahab's boat. Then Ahab ordered the Samuel Enderby seamen to lower him, and we rowed back to the Pequod. The English captain called to him again and again, but Ahab took no notice.